Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to MV Talk Radio's broadcast of January 21st, 2015. My name is Mike McCoy, and Deanna Reeder will be joining us shortly to review the state of civic affairs in Moreno Valley, California. You can catch us as a podcast by going to our internet site at blogtalkradio.com. In the search box, enter MV City Talk and navigate to our show or any archived show from the past. You are welcome to phone us directly and be on the show at 946-929-0610 and follow the instructions given by the automated operator. Our email, Deanna, for help, just email Deanna. You may email us at any time at stopvotesforsale@gmail.com, and Deanna will do her best to respond to your questions. Thank you all for listening in this evening. Now let's get started. One of the things we're going to be discussing tonight is a big agenda item coming up January 27th at the City Council meeting, the Prologis Project. It's been before the Council and the Planning Commission for quite a while, and it's been continued many times. Our guest will be Brandon Karn, and he will be on the air with us shortly. Deanna, did you want to add anything about the importance of this item on the agenda on the 27th?
Well, it went before the Planning Commission, and it was appealed to the City Council, because if someone doesn't agree with a decision of the Planning Commission, they could always appeal it to the City Council, which is what happened. And now the City Council will be the deciding factor on whether the warehouse is able to be built or not be built.
Postponed a bit because some of the new council members wanted time to consider a revised project by the developer. So I think Brandon's going to cover a lot of that. Did you want to add more items, Indiana?
You know what? Actually, no. I think we should introduce Brandon. Brandon, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Hi, Mike. Hi, Diana. Hi, Moreno Valley.
Good evening.
Yes, thank you for being on the show, and we're going to let Brandon give you some information that he has on Prologis. He also has a website where he discusses it. He's made flyers about it and posted information, and so we wanted him to help us give you more information than Mike and I might have.
We're going to have a closer look at Prologis, and here comes Brandon Karn. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. What do you know?
What do we know about it? Well,
what do you know about Prologis?
Oh, what do I know about Prologis? A lot about Prologis. Well, Prologis, I know, is the largest company of the type of landlord and leasee of these types of logistics properties on the planet, so they definitely know what they're up to. And what they want to do in Moreno Valley is they want to bring about 1.5 million square feet of new warehousing, high cube warehousing space next to the auto mall. Not a lot of us in that side of town are particularly happy about them wanting to bring that over. Number of reasons for it. There's a flyer that's a lot more detailed that you can find on the Facebook page. It's Moreno Valley Residents Against Warehouse Expansion, but it's on a couple different pages on Facebook that you may be able to find it. I had a chance of working on this flyer a little bit more. And looking at it, a lot of people have been against it for its location. I hear that all the time. I was able to go to all of the Planning Commission meetings, the meeting in October when it was brought before the City Council and they had to postpone it because Richard Stewart wasn't there. And there's a lot of reasons just beyond the location that we don't want to continue building these large high-key warehouses on the eastern end. It doesn't serve the city's economic function very well either. I mean, of course, you have the argument that it would be against the environment. It will be producing air pollution, noise pollution, light pollution near homes, which is completely true. I mean, some of the apartment complexes next to Walmart, they're only about 1/8 of a mile away from the four facilities that Prologis wants to bring off of Moreno Beach Drive. It's pretty close for comfort. And as far as I'm concerned, they also wanted, when they downsized this plan back in July, they went to the Planning Commission meeting. They had 6 buildings they actually wanted to build initially, but they decided to bring it down to 4. It was originally about 2 million square feet, I believe, and now it's only about 1.5 million, so they eliminated 2 buildings. So there obviously was some nervousness apart by the developer in bringing an industrial site like this close to so many homes. But I thought it was interesting because they're going to sell the excess land that they had for those 2 facilities to build housing development now. And that's already concerning itself, that there's too many homes and businesses and whatnot close to these 4 buildings that are already going in. And that's more of a concern to me than necessarily the environmental impact. I mean, that's definitely a factor, but you also have a lot of problems in the surrounding area. I would say within a half mile, there's a lot of infrastructure that's neglected. Prologis wants to build this without having an extension to the Aldi facility that wants to be on Redlands Boulevard. So they think, they love to bring up that they're going to present about $19 million in fees to the city and things like that, job creation. But reality is that they're not going to extend Eucalyptus to Redlands Boulevard, as you might assume they would for a project like that being built next to Aldi. That's not a current condition that they're going to bring it under. And I think that was one of the concerns that actually George Price brought up when it actually went before the city council and the last time it did.
They would have only one major arterial with all that traffic and trucks for that amount of square footage, only one arterial going in there, and no turnaround hardly?
No turnaround. 88% of the traffic from this facility is going westbound or north or south. Only 12% was going to go east through the Badlands to Beaumont. And they're only going to have, I think it's Eucalyptus that's extended past the Automall to Marino Beach Drive. And if you've driven on Marino Beach, you know that that bridge is completely incomplete. I was just down there on Sunday, and it's still backed up traffic because they completed one phase of on-ramps on Marino Beach Drive. But currently, here's another issue with the city. There's no current planned source of funding to complete the bridge or the on-ramp or to widen Marino Beach with these 4 facilities to go into. And that was another thing, I think. I quote a lot about George Price because this also was pointed out by him at the council meeting, and it was confirmed by police city manager.
If much of their truck traffic is going to head back west, maybe on 60 and then north on 15 and other routes, then that westbound on-ramp onto the 60 and that narrow little bridge, how are they going to handle all that traffic?
I don't think they will. Now, I know this facility, it calls for 3,100 vehicle trips. That's a combination of the facilities. They don't have semi-trucks, but they do have a lot of trucking anyway.
Okay.
And some of that's from the homes that they intend to build and sell for the 2 facilities they got rid of. But it would be, they could not handle and manage that. And I'm thinking this poor shopping center that was built amidst the real estate boom in 2007, had its owner go bankrupt, but it's two different owners, is still struggling to get business, has lost Best Buy and Office Max and all kinds of other tenants, is going to have to endure truck traffic and a major industrial site near it. I mean, not to mention also there's a lot of potential loss in revenue and future customers because of the housing development that most of the land is zoned for surrounding this building is not going to be as easy to sell next to 4 major warehouses all of a sudden.
It sounds like their attempt to make the project more palatable by downsizing it probably is going to backfire.
I really think it will. I mean, you hear a lot of times that we have too many houses in Marina Valley as it is. I think that's definitely the case. We don't want to encourage too many new houses because we don't have places to employ people long-term in Marina Valley. You have to end up commuting somewhere. And they're going to build brand new homes next to, in theory, 4 large facilities for warehousing. That's not necessarily going to be the most popular hot ticket item when you buy a house, especially in a recovering market.
Okay, I have a question then. If they're selling the excess, it will still change the zone for all the property that they own. Would that mean that the excess they sell to put houses on are going to be a non-conforming use?
No, I don't think so. I think they intend to change the zoning. That was part of the revised plan. So I think it would just be residential or mixed use. I think actually it's requested it's changed to mixed use. It might be on the council agenda as that as well.
Okay. They do have the documents online, but I'll be honest, I did not get to all those documents. I mean, I have read past, but
I have about 20 there on the agenda.
There's many, many to go through.
Yeah, they're big. They're big
to read.
Well, go ahead. Continue on with Brandon. I'd like to hear more of the information that you have.
Well, there's a number of issues with having that truck traffic going through not only just the incomplete shopping centers. You have neighborhoods that's going by, schools nearby, all within a mile or two of this project. It's not the best combination for an industrial site to go into at all. They promised 600 to 1,000 different jobs, I imagine, now at build-out. They couldn't have the 1,200 they originally promised with six buildings. Now that's been reduced to four. Personally, I don't see those jobs being the best for Moreno Valley. To me, I feel like you're going to lose a good deal of jobs if you build an industrial site next to the Auto Mall or next to Stone Ridge Town Center or next to the Walmart shopping center there. It's going to make an impact. It's either going to discourage business or it's going to cost people jobs now, or home development and the revenue that they need from that. Most of the jobs I think they're planning for these facilities are going to be mostly manual labor. I mean, they're going to be people who are sorting through the boxes, manual labor is necessary, truck drivers, but people working inside of the buildings and not the best working conditions, kind of all of the horror stories you hear about warehouses today. I mean, I know Prologis is the best in the world for these types of facilities, but we have also a lot of those conditions that plagued the Inland Empire as well. I mean, in the flyer, I mentioned how... Go ahead. I was just going to mention, there's already a stigma of the warehouse industry for temporary work, minimum wage. They never pay benefits. A lot of the time, they're dangerous working conditions. People get injured. They are eliminated or fired or before they're able to get their medical insurance or anything that they have to pay back. And then we have a lot of systematic wage theft in the Inland Empire. In warehousing, it's really unfortunate, but a lot of lawsuits, the millions of dollars in fines and lawsuits and penalties have been paid out just because of these types of issues repeating themselves across Southern California and the Inland Empire.
Well, I was going to ask you this time if you've had an opportunity to take a read of the city council and if you can decipher any reaction they're having or any predictions about what the next steps will be by the council.
The acceptability of it, I think it'll be kind of a mixed result. I know George Price in District 3 has been listening to the residents a lot about it. I was able to send this flyer off to all of the council members. I only heard back from Madonna Jensen and Jeff Guyba, who, while on the Planning Commission, voted it down because he said it was a cluster of warehouse buildings next to different zoning uses, which is something I agree with. I was at that meeting when he voted it down as well. So it's kind of a mixed result. I haven't heard back from Yixtian Gutierrez or Justin Molina about the project. As far as their opinions go, I don't really know. I know they've encouraged people to work at warehousing, which is fine. I'm absolutely not against warehousing in Moreno Valley of the Inland Empire, but my opinion or their opinion of this project, I'm not exactly sure of.
Deanna?
You know what? It's really hard to read what they're going to do, for sure. My instinct is that they're going to turn this project down, and I think it has more to do with other reasons than the actual putting a warehouse there. I mean, that's the right reason. This is the wrong place for a warehouse. So many people bought houses in that end of town. They bought very expensive houses, and when they bought those houses, they were promised schools were going to go there, and that's what they purchased, a big house, that their dream house and schools close by, and it was going to be a wonderful dream neighborhood. And, you know, it's like expecting a dream and getting, you know, Mira Loma instead. And that's what, you know, they're proposing. So it's just the wrong place for this. Everything needs to have a plan, and this is a very bad plan.
Yeah, I
agree.
It is. And I'm just driving around the area along Nason and Marina Beach. It's just amazing how many new housing developments are coming back that were dormant because of the poor economy. Housing is coming back, and it's getting to be built within a mile or two of these new warehouses going in. And that's going to be an issue. I know Renaissance Village was one that was got a lot of prominence. It's a new senior living facility on Marina Beach. All of those are going to be within a mile or so of this new project. So it's going to be creating an issue in the long term that you're going to have probably a lot of houses surrounding it. The land's definitely already zoned for mixed use and residential primarily around it. And I think that's going to be a conflict long term. I don't think it was necessarily the best location for it. I mean, Prologis in 2007 purchased the property cheaply. I think that's why they got it from the UC system that owned orange groves there. And they got the land at a good deal. And so I think that's why they took it upon themselves to get it. And they didn't necessarily foresee other businesses coming in around it because at the time it was just undeveloped and isolated. They may not have known about the plans for housing development apartments, Walmart, you name it, but they decided anyway. And I find it curious because at the Planning Commission meetings, the vice president and the staff members that are representing Prologis said in 2007 they were looking all up and down the I-215 corridor. And they could have chosen any location between, say, Marietta and San Bernardino. But for some reason, all of a sudden, they decided to choose along the 60 freeway near residences, near businesses of other kinds of zoning. So it's unusual to me. So I'm thinking the cheap land when they have the real estate bubble where a lot of people were purchasing because of the lower prices, that was the main motivator for it, unfortunately. They easily could have chosen to build along Alessandro or Cactus or the southern industrial part of Marina Valley that's already zoned for these types of building, and it would have been a perfectly suitable project. There's nothing wrong with it being down there at all. In fact, I think we should encourage it because the general plan promotes it, and it was thought of it that way.
And the general public assumes that's where our warehouse development, if we have it, would be best suited. I think the public knows that. Everyone I talk to, nearly, say no more warehouses on the east side. It's just not right.
Well, okay, I can add a little bit to that because at one meeting where the president said, you know what, you can ask me anything, I went out there and said I wanted to talk to him. And I got his card and I called him, and he told me that that they knew Benzivi was putting it in there because, if you remember correctly, Skechers was in a Prologis warehouse. So they had to give Prologis notice that they were going to build the warehouse in Marina Valley. And so Prologis knew that Benzivi had this plan for all these warehouses. So when they bought this, they said they had talked to the city council, and they said they talked to almost every one of the city council, so I'm guessing they talked to everyone but Charles White, and they confirmed before they bought the property that indeed that it was going to be okay for warehouses. So they said they got an idea, they got, you know, a pretty much verbal okay from the city council before they bought the property. And that's why they bought it. And that's exactly the reason that this project should be not approved. It is not okay for a city council to go beyond a meeting and give agreements with a builder before something ever comes to the public. And that's what happened with this project. And it's wrong.
Absolutely, I agree. I mean, the project doesn't have any tenants even at this point. I know Paul just said it, that very few are willing to risk on the property not being developed. The buildings already have. I understand that. But what they were promised wasn't necessarily realistic. That's why I was thinking during the housing bubble or the real estate bubble that gripped the whole country, this was just sort of something that kind of came out of real estate speculation. They thought they could deliver on something that they just couldn't at the time. And now we're going to deal with the long-term consequences of broken promises and a development that should not have been built there or wasn't fully responsibly planned in the long term.
Well, it's going to be interesting at the council meeting. I wonder if Prologis will pack its bags or hang around for another continuance or come back with a new project. I don't know what's going to happen. I agree with Deanna that it's probably not going to work out for them, but it'll be interesting to see.
It's not the worst development of a warehouse. I mean, it's definitely better suited for somewhere like the southern end of the city. That's where the most infrastructure is to support these types of projects. Like I said, I'm not against a lot of logistics or warehousing in Marina Valley or the area surrounding it. It's just it should be suited in an area that's best suited for the infrastructure. I mean, you have the I-215 corridor there. You have access under the freeway in major corridors like along Cactus and Alessandro, Ramon Expressway. You even have
some rail service.
And rail service. I mean, I drive down Alessandro sometimes. They're building the new Metrolink station there near Meridian Business Park. why couldn't that be a future rail intermodal center, especially when that long-term plan of that is for logistics to be shipped out through the rail corridor near the 215 freeway there? It could be a much better
use of
infrastructure. Absolutely.
You cover a lot of ground on many of the best reasons logistically why the east side of Moreno Valley is not appropriate for that kind of industry. In fact, what I've said many times at the council too, is just it's an industry that's actually, I believe, has peaked and is going to become more and more of an automated operation wherever it exists with fewer jobs. They're going to be converting to automation more and more, and we'll be stuck with these white elephants throughout our east side, and it's going to be a huge mistake.
Yes, that's definitely a factor, automation, the decreased demand because of the ships in the Panama Canal, and cargo now going to the East Coast more than it is now.
Mm-hmm. Don't get me going on that because I've been reading all the blogs from the Mariner and the shipping industry, and even Mexico is going to pull ahead of L.A. It's just a matter of time, maybe about another 5 to 10 years.
Oh, yeah. I remember even a few years ago, the railroad was widened through Banning and Beaumont because the railroad was anticipating a lot, or Union Pacific was anticipating a lot more shipments to the East Coast and actually a decrease in traffic on the West Coast. So they were expanding their rail shipments because they had to increase for productivity in the Gulf of Mexico. So there was all kinds of signs.
Yeah, those ports have been modernized.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's facilities at March that haven't been developed on GPA land that have been empty since the end of the Cold War that could be used for logistics these days. It would be a great idea to redevelop an area like that now.
That covers a lot of ground.
Yeah,
speaking of projects on the east side, well, go ahead, make your point. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
I was just going to say, I mean, a lot of the infrastructure, I challenge anybody, just go to the skate park at March, the Marchfield Skate Park, or down the street from the commissary, and you see how abandoned that undeveloped property is. A lot of it's park and rec land, some by the city, some that's wanted for March Life Care, but really, there's no reason why we couldn't redevelop that infrastructure and get it back to what it was. It was used for decades as an Air Force logistics base. Why not, again, with new private development?
Being as we're discussing warehouses in general, does anyone have anything to report from the Edo Benzivi free breakfast event that occurred Saturday?
I saw some posts on the internet, and I talked to someone that didn't think that there was as many people there as was posted. They said a lot of people were actually outside. They weren't even inside the room listening to the presentation. There was a lot of kids there. And I remember when we were protesting one time when Benzivi had something, they literally had people that would go in the entrance and then go out the back and then come around and then go back in to make it look like they had more people. And I know the picture I saw didn't show that many people. It didn't look like that many people were there. And they really didn't give me a number. So it's another Benzivi. But, you know, the man, he's like the Pied Piper, you know. He can be very charming when he wants to be. And I'm sure he was at his best during this meeting trying to push his project.
I heard that some people came just for the breakfast and then left.
I would believe that.
That's what I do when they invite me to those free lunches to buy property out in Golden Valley, Arizona or somewhere.
Okay, now meetings. Now, there was some ruckus tonight at a Hidden Springs community meeting. What was that?
Well, Deanna, from what I heard, there was a presentation by the Public Works regarding that Reche Canyon Road, which is an extension of Paris Boulevard that's proposed to go about a quarter mile north of the existing intersection. A lot of people, 30 at least, attended, and about 20 of them were very opposed to this project and had great concerns about the fate of boroughs that would be likely to cross those roads and that the city needed to do something about it. And why it became a ruckus is because some people that Nan and I were not familiar with as coming to these meetings regularly got quite loud and went off subject and started making accusations that the city staff and the city in general and police and other bodies, that they're not doing their jobs to protect the boroughs and traffic problems in general in the northern part of Moreno Valley. And there had to be a calm down period, a five-minute timeout asked for by Art Hernandez, who's the director, not the director, but he's the general host and leader, casual leader of the Hidden Springs Residents Committee. And then that worked, actually, and people came back in the building after a few minutes, and they were calmed down, and they went ahead with the remainder of the presentation by the city. But it seemed like there was a crowd there that normally doesn't attend our neighborhood meeting. And although it's open to the public and used as a school, that was what occurred. And it was rowdy compared to the usual meetings, which are just kind of boring reports on landscaping, things like that.
Okay, well, we don't have a lot of time left. I'm going to cover what's on the rest of the agenda for the meeting on Tuesday. There is a consultant services contract to be associated to Webb Associates to design the Edgemont water system. It's the preliminary design. It's going to be $430,000. But this design will put the city on track to be able to get grants, hopefully, to actually install the water system, which is going to be in the millions, I believe upwards of $15 million, and they've heard different amounts over the years, but it's going to be at least $15 million. And now there's another construction contract to Keystone Builders for the corporate yard facility, and it's going to be about $3 million. And of that, $192,000 is for interior furniture. And this is about 5,000. I have to look at the contract again, but I think it's about 5,000 square feet. I'm not sure how much darn furniture they're going to put in there and what it is, but there was no attachment as to what this interior furniture was. So I already sent an email to Ahmad Ansari, who did the staff report, to ask him if I just missed it, if it's, you know, if it's somewhere, and if not in the agenda, could he send it to me? Because that's an awful lot for furniture.
That's correct. I'm looking at it, too.
I don't know what
I'm
they're
to find
buying,
it.
But I know that when I've seen furniture at city places, that's way more than I would have expected it to cost. And this is supposed to be a discounted. Now, there was another interesting thing. There's approval of an updated memorandum of understanding between the City of Moreno Valley and the Management Association. Now, this one was interesting. I don't know if any of you can remember past MOUs with the management employees and the different employee...
this is a management labor issue, yeah.
Yes.
Not
okay, well,
something.
They used to have a max on the number of hours that you could accrue. They lowered that, but I can't find a max in this new contract, which is why we are paying over $100,000 to some of these employees at separation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably about as much as I can get in the contract or in the agenda coming up. There is a public safety subcommittee next Monday, the 26th. There's a senior citizens advisory board meeting on the 26th, emerging leaders council, 4th of July advisory committee meeting. The regular city council meeting is on the 27th. And the, tomorrow night, LaDonna Jemson is holding a meet and share at the VFW on Alessandro from 6:30 to 8:00. And
well, everyone should turn out for these meetings, and our next podcast will be January 28th, and everybody should turn out for the Prologis on the agenda. And did you have anything else?
We are actually out of time, so it's time to say goodnight, Marie Novelli.
Thanks, Brandon.
And thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brandon, for being on the show. Say goodbye, Marie Novelli.
Goodbye, Marie Novelli. Good night.